Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 7th day of May, 2018. I am sorry for the delay in broadcasting, I should say, today, because we were testing new software at First Love Radio, and it wasn't matching up with the software here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where I am broadcasting from. So we had to revert back to our old practice of broadcasting, and I am sorry for that delay, but we will be on the air for a full 2 hours nonetheless. But regardless of that, I am delighted to have back on the program today Daniel Deeds, who received his BA in theology at Randall University in Moore, Oklahoma. He's the son of American missionaries to Brazil, church planter and pastor at Igreja Batista Histórica. And of course, we will once again have that corrected, that Portuguese accent corrected. And he is the director of the Historic Baptist Theological Institute and board member of the Reformed Baptist Convention of Brazil. He is a published author, and today we are addressing part two of a discussion we began last Monday, "Will I Make It to Heaven? A New Look at the Perseverance of the Saints." And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Daniel Deeds.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here, and I appreciate you giving me another opportunity to be on your wonderful program.
Oh, I really appreciate it, Daniel. And let me give our email address for those wanting to join us on the air with questions of your own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen at gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before we go into the topic, there are no doubt going to be a number of listeners today who are discovering you for the very first time. Why don't you let us know something about the church where you a pastor in Brazil?
Sure. Yes, we are in a city of about 120,000 people in Brazil, in a region that very traditional, very small number of evangelical churches proportional to the population, and that's where we've started a church, we've planted a church, and we have two congregations that we're working on getting two more churches started in neighboring cities. In the city where we are the basically the only church that has really stood for Reformed theology. There are some other churches that have some identification with Reformed theology, but that has not really been their emphasis. And it's not something that they really call for, and so that might be distinctive with the community where we are.
Brother, you're getting muffled with your voice again. Is there anything that you got to make sure you keep your mouth close to the mouthpiece of whatever you're using?
Sure. Let me see if I can do it like this. See if that helps.
Okay, and you could continue. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, but we're in a region where not very much missionary work has been done, but some has been done. And there are you know, some evangelical churches, but it's one of the, according to the Brazilian government statistics, it's the part of Brazil that has the lowest proportion of evangelicals within the population. So that's a mission that we have, to be there and carry the gospel to that part of the country. And the Lord has really blessed. In the last few years, we've seen significant growth. We've seen the church become stable, and we're able now to reach out to other communities, and we're starting new churches in new cities where, again, we don't have very many churches that would have identification with the kind of theology, the kind of message that we're teaching. Most of the churches in that region are Pentecostal or neo-Pentecostal. And I say most, I'm talking about probably over 80%. So most of what is being preached in evangelical churches, when we use the name evangelical, very broad name, we're talking about prosperity theology and very little message about repentance and forgiveness of sins and service to God in that sense that Christians have traditionally stood up for. Now, there are some other churches, I don't want to give the impression that we're the only ones. There are some other churches that really preach the gospel of Christ and forgiveness of sins, but we are in the minority even of the evangelicals. So it's a very needy part of the country. But the Lord's blessed us and allowed us to reach some very dear people there, and we've seen people just coming from different backgrounds. Most of the people that make up our church have no past in evangelical churches at all. They either came out of unbelief completely in the Bible, or they came from some religious background where they didn't believe in salvation by grace through faith, even though they professed to be Christian. And so that's been the emphasis of our mission there.
So have the majority then been, who have come to Christ through your ministry, former Roman Catholics?
Yes, I would say the majority are. And there are some also who have come out of Spiritism. Spiritism is very popular in Brazil. And so these are people who have believed in the past in things like reincarnation and just the whole idea that Jesus was not divine in any sense. He was just a leader that brought spiritual light to the world, with it, just like maybe a Buddha or something like that. So there's no real Christian distinctive, even though sometimes there's a message that, you know, they would go to the Catholic Church and they get baptized there, but you wouldn't find even the elements that we would agree with in the traditional Catholic doctrine in some of their views. Now, other ones are from a Catholic background, but then, of course, they don't understand the gospel of grace. They don't understand the way of salvation, you know, the emphasis that the Reformation brought. And so those things were also needed to be communicated to those who came from that kind of background.
Now, so I'm assuming from what you said, those folks who may profess to be Christian but are saying that Jesus Christ isn't the God-man, he's just a great leader or something, a great prophet and teacher, I'm assuming from what you said that this isn't coming from some specific cult or denomination that has a false understanding of Christ. This is just people using the basic teaching of humanism that may not be atheistic or agnostic. They are, you know, like your average liberal in the United States might even believe something like that. Is that what you're saying, or is it coming from a specific cult?
Yes. No, that is correct. It's basically people who have received no teaching about the Bible, even though they profess to be Christians. And so they've learned what they believe just, you know, random sources within society, that kind of thing.
Great. And do you think, I've noticed that in all of the Latin countries where Roman Catholicism has been dominant for centuries, the rise of the Pentecostal and charismatic movements there, do you see that? Do you see the connection of the flourishing of Pentecostals and charismatics because of the connection with Roman Catholicism on one major issue, and that is an emphasis of the miraculous, even though I don't know what it's like in the Latin countries today in regard to Roman Catholicism, but for instance, in most American Roman Catholic churches, they will be very stoic, they will be very reserved in nature in the way people worship. But there will still be a very strong belief in holy water, in relics having some kind of power to them because they've been blessed by a priest. Even modern day manufactured crucifixes that might be made out of plastic are deemed to have some kind of supernatural power because they are blessed by a priest. And you have people who have vials of water from lords and things like that. Do you think that that is a connection to the flourishing of Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement? Because they out miracle the Catholics, if you will, in the 21st century in the way that they, of course, we don't believe that what we are seeing in those churches and denominations are really miracles, but they will claim, the claims of the miraculous are far more abundant than you would find, at least in America, and I'm assuming places like the UK and so forth.
Oh, yes, that's certainly true. In Brazil, the population is very mystical in many ways, and that's, I think, always been part of Catholicism. There are many people who will have claims that they've received revelations through apparitions of Mary and things like that. There's a large part of the population today that's skeptical of that kind of thing, but that's also very popular. And so there are claims for healing and supernatural intervention. Right near where we are, there's a church, a Catholic church, that has a room of miracles, and it will have a lot of testimonies that are posted on the wall and different reports of cases where people received miracles in their lives and things that were supposed to be supernatural interferences like this that came from praying to a saint or praying to Mary or sometimes even praying to God directly. And this kind of emphasis does already exist in the society. And so I believe that that does contribute for this kind of religion like the Pentecostalism and the Neo-Pentecostalism to come in and actually emphasize that even more and attempt to do one better. Like you said, I think that really does contribute to the growth of movements like that in a country like Brazil.
And I do want to say once again that I'm sorry if I am broad brushing Pentecostals and Charismatics. I believe that there are many fine, genuine brethren in Christ who come from those backgrounds, and they run a very large spectrum of belief under the umbrella of what would be called Pentecostal or Charismatic, just like under the umbrella of Baptist, you have quite a spectrum as well. I mean,
no, that's true.
And of course, the miracle of salvation, which is the greatest miracle of all, I believe, does occur within Pentecostal and Charismatic movements and churches and so on. So I don't want to completely, I don't want to completely erase any miraculous things that are actually happening. I'm just talking about the majority of things that are viewed as sign gifts where alleged miracles are happening through the laying on of hands and all that kind of thing.
Right.
Now, I have heard and I have seen in documentaries and videos and things like that, that many of us who were cradle Catholics, born and raised in the Catholic Church, in America and perhaps UK and other places, we don't really know what Catholicism is like until we've been to places like the Latin countries, where Mariolatry is far more abundant and prominent and vibrant and superstitious. Would that be true of Brazil?
Yes, I believe that is true. I've noticed that Catholicism changes depending where it is. In the United States, you would have very few images in the churches and in homes, whereas in Brazil, it's very common to see a lot of emphasis like that in our city. On Holy Week, there will be processions in the street where, over 1,000 people sometimes will make a line just following an image from one church to another, where they have this ceremony where they, you know, put crowns on the heads of the image, and people come to kiss the image and touch it, with the belief that that's one way that they will receive a blessing from God, and even healing and things like this. So that kind of thing does change. And even in Brazil, depending on where you are, Brazil is such a big country that we have local cultures that are a little bit different. And in some parts of Brazil, it's very connected even to spiritist practices, what you see going on in some of the Catholic churches. So that really depends on where you are.
Yes, I used to broadcast from an all-Spanish Christian station. I was the only English program on the station and the only Reformed program on the station. And this was because a Spanish Christian network bought out the English-speaking Christian station that where my program aired, and it was full. Hello, are you there, brother? I think I just lost my guest. Daniel Deeds, are you there? Yep, Daniel is gone. Well, we will have to wait for Daniel to call back, and I'm sure he'll be calling back. Well, at least I hope he'll be calling back any second now. And there goes Daniel. And hello, Daniel. I'm not sure what happened there.
Yes, I lost. I heard you saying that you used to broadcast, and that was the last thing I heard.
Yeah, my show, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, used to broadcast out of WNYG Radio on Long Island, New York, and it was bought out. It was an English-speaking Christian station, predominantly contemporary Christian music, and it was bought out by a Spanish network that has stations all over the tri-state area of New York and even in Puerto Rico and, I believe, some other Latin American countries. But my program was the only English-speaking program when it got taken over by the Spanish network. And in fact, I, for a couple of days, lost the program because everybody who was working for the English station, English-speaking station, when the Spanish station took over, everybody lost their jobs. And I got a call a few days later from the general manager of Radio Cantico Nuevo, and who said to me, "Is this Mr. Chris? Would you like to come back to the station? Our phones are ringing off the hook. People want your show back."
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I remained on that station for several years until I relocated here to Pennsylvania. But I noticed something that just as in American and English-speaking Pentecostalism and charismatic churches, you could tell when a Spanish-speaking pastor on the air was speaking in tongues, he was very often or most often just using a couple of syllables and repeating them over and over again. So if it was a real language, it would be the same word just being repeated over and over again.
Right.
And I noticed that I was a lot of the noise that was being made, but. As we were saying, there is seems to be a close connection to the charismatic movement and Roman Catholicism, even though you might have a lot of Pentecostal and charismatic pastors denouncing the Church of Rome from their pulpits because of theological reasons. There's still a lot of similarity, and I don't know what it's like in the Hispanic culture, and perhaps you could tell us, but in the American culture or in the American Pentecostal and charismatic movements, you will find a lot of ecumenicism or ecumenism today, whereas I remember in the 1980s when I was searching before I finally found a home in a Reformed Baptist church where I believe I was saved. But when I was visiting a lot of Pentecostal and charismatic churches, even in the 80s, which isn't really all that long ago. For some of our listeners, it's their whole lives. but I can remember there being a lot of correct sentiments opposed to Roman Catholicism, whereas today, ecumenism is rampant with Rome in the charismatic and Pentecostal churches. What is it like in the Latin American countries and in Brazil in particular in that regard?
Right. Well, I'll speak mostly for Brazil because I don't keep up so well with what's going on in the Spanish-speaking countries. But what is going on in Brazil is very much like what you described. Some of the most important leaders in even churches that come from historical traditional denominations like Baptists and groups like the Assembly of God and some of these other groups, some of them have become very friendly towards the Catholic Church, even having Catholic priests come and speak to their congregation, preach in the church. That kind of thing has happened, and it's caused, you know, concerns of how much do these people really understand the gospel and the doctrine of justification by faith alone, because that is not something that you will find within the theology of these Catholic priests who will accept an invitation to come and speak at your church. One of the things that I believe does contribute to that is just the fact that the Pentecostals emphasize the experience of speaking in tongues as evidence of the Holy Spirit, which they will also realize that happens in the same manner with the charismatic Catholics. And so I think that that has a tendency to make them look at this and say, well, these must be our brothers, because there is a common experience here that we associate with the Holy Spirit. And of course, it's also true that that same kind of experience can be Christian.
Brother, your voice is getting muffled again. You have to make sure you keep your mouth near the voice piece.
Okay. I'll try it like this. But the experience of speaking in tongues and having the charismatic experience can be identified also even in some other groups that don't even claim to be Christian. So you might have in the Hindu religion people who have the same kinds of phenomena going on. These people don't believe in Christ. And so there needs to be more understanding that what is really going on there is not enough to say, okay, we have a common faith, a common Lord here. We need to really look at the essentials of the Bible, of the Christian faith, and understand, as Martin Luther put it, the article that the church stands or falls on. And things like that need to be taken into account when we're talking about these kind of things, more than just looking at the experience, which I think may be the factor in some of these people's minds.
Yes. And, well, our topic today is not the Roman Catholic Church. It is the perseverance and preservation of the saints, and more specifically, the theme of your book, which is Will I Make It to Heaven? A New Look at the Perseverance of the Saints. And once again, I want to repeat our email address if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. One of the phrases I don't think that we mentioned during part one of our discussion on this is once saved, always saved. And I want to get your answer to the same question that I get a lot, but if I am talking with or speaking with a Christian that typically believes you could lose your salvation, they will say to me, do you believe in once saved, always saved? And I will say, well, it depends on what you mean by that. And then I say, yes, I do believe that once a person is truly saved, they are always saved. But I do not believe once a person thinks they're saved, that they're necessarily truly saved, and therefore they may not necessarily be always saved because they never were saved to begin with. And I'll have to explain to them that a lot of Christians that use that phrase, once saved, always saved, you will find that a lot amongst fundamentalist Baptists and other Christian groups who rightly believe that a true Christian cannot lose their salvation, but they will use that phrase, which is also used by many people who have adopted a heretical understanding of salvation that is commonly nicknamed cheap grace or easy believism, where once a person makes some kind of a profession of inviting Jesus into their heart, and as long as they really mean it, now obviously, a person can be deceived as to whether or not they really mean it.
Sure.
There are people who think that they are becoming Christians because they are being told by those around them, perhaps even a pastor or preacher, you're saved now, and once saved, always saved. If you ever doubt it, that's just the devil trying to tempt you into doubting your salvation. So once saved, always saved. Now, that obviously is... That kind of a minimal way of describing security in Christ is a dangerous way, even though we believe in its core essence it's true if you're talking about somebody who's truly born again. So how would you answer that question? Do you believe in once saved, always saved?
Well, yes, I do. I agree with you about this. I believe that if you're truly saved, you will be saved forever. But I don't think that that is the best way of expressing it, depending on who you're talking to. That might really generate that kind of confusion. I can recall very clearly when I came out of the Free Will Baptist denomination where I was brought up, and I joined the Southern Baptist. I went on the visitation team. We were doing evangelism when we were visiting people who were coming to the church. And I was with another person with me who was basically training me on how to do these visitations. And we went to a person's home who had shown up in church on a Sunday, but had not been to church in something like 20 years. And this person began to talk about why they went to church. They were concerned about their kids, how their kids were being raised. They felt their kids needed to have some kind of church influence in their life. Basically, that was motivation. And the person who was leading the visit asked, well, have you ever been saved? And the person said, oh, yes, I have. And she walked out and went in the other room and came back with a little card that showed that she had been made a profession of faith in a Baptist church years ago. It was like over 20 years ago. And she showed that, and so this individual looked at the card and said, oh, this is wonderful. See, this is your spiritual birth certificate. So this guarantees that you are saved. And this person had no interest in being in church for a long period of time. I think that, you know, demonstrates how many times people have not understood what we intend to communicate when we say that there is security for the believer. That's a very superficial way of looking at it, and that is dangerous because you can go around assuring people of salvation who don't have fruit, don't have evidence of salvation. That's not what we're going for. I think that's a misunderstanding. It's unfortunate. There are churches that are teaching that now. That's kind of a recent phenomenon. Churches didn't teach that anywhere. From anything that I was able to find in the research that I've done, let's say 150 years ago, you wouldn't find that. That was not the Reformed belief. That was not what Baptists taught. That was not what evangelicals taught in any church. There were people who taught that you could lose your salvation, but people who were more in line with the Reformed theology thought, no, Christians don't lose their salvation, but that kind of a superficial attachment to Christianity is not salvation. That's not what we're talking about. People like that aren't necessarily saved. And so that's something that I think is really important. And I tried very much to communicate this reality in the book. The book is basically addressed who do not know for sure or are totally against the idea that the true saved, the saints, do persevere and that there is no loss of salvation. That was basically the audience, the target audience for this book. And what I did is I've read just about everything that I can get a hold of that's from the Arminian perspective that teaches that salvation can be lost. And I've really tried to interact with these authors. I've tried to be fair with them, to really understand their position. I held that position in the past. And I think that it's very clear what goes on with most of these people. They don't understand the Reformed position, and they usually react negatively to this idea of once saved, always saved, exactly because they have understood that in the way that some of these people have, very superficially. And so that is something to react against. That is something to show concern about, because that is dangerous. It can mislead people, give people false assurance. But, of course, the answer is not to say, okay, then what happens is, initially, when you make that kind of a profession of faith, you do get saved, and then you lose it as you grow cold, move away from church, or lose interest in the spiritual things. That is not really what's going on either. And so that's a concern that we have. I think the misunderstanding here is unfortunate because as I look back in history and as I read the books that have come out through the centuries that address this, everything from systematic theologies to Bible commentaries to specific doctrinal books, the Christians have labored very hard to communicate what really is the doctrine of the Reformation, what really is the doctrine of doctrines of grace about perseverance. And there have been many, many good statements of faith, even in doctrinal statements, that make it clear that we're not teaching a kind of once saved, always saved, even for the people who have no fruit in their life. But even so, that message has not always gotten across. And sometimes I'm concerned that if we don't make that very clear and we convince people who believe, oh yes, a Christian can lose his salvation, if we just talk about, no, it can't, a Christian can't lose his salvation, and don't fill in the gaps about how that really works, that what we can do is actually try to convince somebody to take a position that's not really even what we're trying to say. If I can illustrate that, if I imagine talking to somebody who doesn't believe in Christianity, he doesn't believe in the Trinity. He says, well, the Trinity is three gods. And so I don't believe in three gods. I believe in one God. And you say, oh, well, look, Jesus is God. And you show him biblical evidence for the claims of Christ. And so convince that person, well, Jesus did claim to be God. And you don't clarify that actually we're talking about a Trinity, not three gods. A person could say, okay, you convinced me, so I'm with you now. And they would not convert to biblical Christianity, they might convert to tritheism, where they believe in three gods now. And so that kind of a leap from one position to another, we really want to avoid that when we talk about the security of the believer and perseverance of the saint. We want to make it clear that we're not teaching that a person can just receive salvation without a life-transforming regeneration, without a fruit that will continue throughout his life, and the signs of new life, making that person walk in faithfulness and grow in faithfulness, without that kind of evidence, and still teach people that person is still saved and unconditionally saved because at one point they made a profession of faith. That would be very unfortunate if people went from one position to the other along those lines.
In fact, we have to go to our break right now, and when we return, I want you to define, even though you did this last time in part one, I want you to define what perseverance of the saints is, how it's been historically understood, and of course, most importantly, how it is biblically to be understood. And then after that, I'd like you to go through some of the major attempts at refuting this teaching that Arminians or non-Calvinists make, and show how they are being biblically incorrect or inconsistent, etc.
Okay.
And if anybody would like to join us on the air, we do have one listener already waiting to have the... I'm not sure if it's a man or a woman because of the name. It looks like an Asian name. But we have a listener named... And I'm sorry, I'm probably going to be mispronouncing your name, but Siki Lee. In fact, let me read Siki Lee's... question, and when we come back from the break, if you want to send me a follow-up email, Siki, with the correct pronunciation of your name, if you want to send it to me phonetically, I will try to correct myself when we come back. But our listener in Pinoca, Alberta, Canada, and I don't even know if I've pronounced Pinoca correctly, Pinoca or Panaka. Hi, Chris and Daniel. Great show. You mentioned people thinking they're saved, and if you doubt it, that's just the devil. What would you say to people who are doubting their faith? Some people struggle with assurance, depression, etc. The list goes on. Thanks. Excellent, excellent question. And we'll have our guest answer that question when we return from the break. If anybody else would like to join that listener, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of Daniel Deeds and Will I Make It to Heaven?
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis. and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your World trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned in, our guest today for the full 2 hours with 90 minutes approximately to go is Daniel Deeds, and we are discussing part two of a discussion that we began last week. Will I make it to heaven? A new look at the perseverance of the saints, which is also the title of his new book published by Calvary Press. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And before the break, I read a question from one of our listeners in Pinoca, Alberta, Canada, who just sent me an email with a correct pronunciation of the name. I still don't know if it's a man or a woman. Sorry, that wasn't confirmed. But I was not only wrong in the pronunciation, I was wrong on the nation of origin. It is a Dutch name mixed with a Canadian name. So it is Sika Lee from Pinoca, Alberta, Canada. And Sika asked, you mentioned people thinking they're saved, and if you doubt it, that's just the devil. What would you say to someone or to people who are doubting their faith? Some people struggle with assurance, depression, etc. The list could go on. Thanks. Well, that would obviously depend a lot on the person you're talking to, wouldn't it?
Yes, I believe that's true. One of the things that you have to be very careful when you're speaking specifically to a person who's in doubt, you need to keep in mind that the doubt may be coming from the devil that is trying to get a true Christian just to paralyze him in his Christian walk and service to Christ to believe he's not saved and not forgiven. On the other hand, there's also the reality that it might be the Holy Spirit that's showing this person that he's had false profession of faith and he needs to really have a faith in Christ that's something real. And so we talked about the issue of doubt. It depends a lot on who we're talking to. And I would say this. If we're talking to a person who has truly come to faith in Christ and is struggling with doubt, his doubt will be not based on the idea that I can see that I've lived a false life and I'm a sham, I'm not a true Christian. His doubt will be more along the lines of, okay, I know that my life has been transformed, but am I really good enough? Am I a person who has come to show the fruit of the Spirit in a way that demonstrates a genuine conversion? And not a person who is just looking for a way to appease his conscience and say, yes, I know that there are things that I need to change in my life if I'm going to be biblical, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to have my life any different from what I am right now. So I believe when the Holy Spirit is working, convicting, there will be a direction that's very clear. This is what you need to do. This has got to be changed. You are not living a life according to the Word of God. You're living in sin. You're rebelling against Christ. You need to repent. And that would be the Holy Spirit. But if we're talking to a person who really has nothing that he can say, well, this is where I am still resisting the Word of God. This is where I'm not willing for Christ to lead me. But the person is saying, actually, what I want to do is serve Christ. And in every way that I understand the Bible, I am serving Christ. And I'm still seeking to understand God's will more in my life and do it. But even so, I'm not sure. I think that would be more the symptoms of the devil trying to paralyze a person and not allow a person to enjoy security and assurance that they can have. But the issue of assurance, I think, is very personal, and I don't think we can give a blanket statement that says, okay, if you're in Category A, this is your case. If you're in Category B, I think that would involve a little bit more personal knowledge of each case, and probably the best thing to do would be to seek counseling with a godly leader that has good biblical knowledge and a good basis to give advice and listen to the kinds of personal questions and issues that are coming up in that individual's life. I wouldn't try to make a generalized statement along those lines.
Yeah, let me, in fact, read some of the most chilling words of Scripture coming from Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Quite a chilling passage, because you have people there on Judgment Day expecting to be allowed entrance into heaven with Christ because they believed in Christ, they professed Christ, and even did all kinds of miraculous things in his name. And isn't it interesting that Jesus never says to them, you never did those things? And yet, they were false professors. And for the person who believes you could lose your salvation, do we not have to point them to the fact that Jesus says at the conclusion of that passage that I read, I never knew you. He didn't say, right. He never say, I no longer know you. He said, I never knew you. So that means they were never saved.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not talking about people.
You're broken up, brother. I didn't understand what you said. You just said that's not talking about people, and then you got cut off.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, that does not apply to people in the sense that these people got saved, they were active in church, they kind of got backslidden, and that was the reason that they'll, now they are lost. They never were saved, exactly.
Well, by the way, Sika Lee, or Sika, I'm sorry, Sika Lee just confirmed that he is a man, a brother in Christ. So, Sika, since you live in Canada, we cannot have CVBBS.com ship you a free copy of Daniel Deeds' book, because the offer for the free books to those submitting questions is only for those living in the United States because of the postal cost of shipping to Canada and overseas. So if you do know someone in the United States that you would like us to ship this book to, or if you know somebody in the United States who you want us to ship this book to, who will ship it to you, we could put your name on the address care of, if you have a friend in the United States or perhaps a family member who will ship that to you once CVBBS.com ships it to them. But I'm sorry, we cannot ship it to anyone outside of the United States because we have a lot of listeners in Canada and overseas who submit questions, and the costs would just mount up to an astronomical figure for CVBBS.com to be shipping out books to non-United States residents. So, if you could, let us know of a United States resident we can ship both the book to, Will I Make It to Heaven, and also hello? Hello, are you there, Daniel Deeds? Daniel Deeds, are you there? Daniel Deeds got disconnected again for some reason. But anyway, as I was saying to you, Sika Lee, if you have a name that we can ship that to in the United States, we will surely do that. And they could ship it to you if you'd like them to, or if you want them to keep it, that's fine. Oh, yeah, I was also saying that you have won a free New American Standard Bible that we will include in that shipment to your United States resident friend or family member. So let us know with an email. Thank you for calling back. I don't know what's happening, Daniel, with our connection, but this is the second time.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But if you could, let us know what you mean by perseverance of the saints, and as it is also historically known as perseverance and preservation of the saints. What do you mean by that?
Okay. Well, the perseverance of the saints, I think that we find that very clearly stated in the New Hampshire Baptist Confession of Faith that was from 1833, when Baptists in America formulated a doctrinal statement that churches adopted, most Baptist churches adopted this at that time. The statement says, on the perseverance of the saints, we believe that only such are real believers as endure unto the end, that their persevering attachment to Christ is the grand mark which distinguishes them from superficial professors, that a special providence watches over their welfare, and they are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So what you find in this particular statement is that there's a mark when somebody is truly saved, when there's a true believer, that this person will persevere. People who profess to be Christians and then do not persevere, do not continue in faith in Christ, those people are superficial, and they're not the truly saved. And so there's a special providence of God that watches and cares for believers to not allow them to be taken away by false doctrine, by a return to a life of deliberate sin. And these things, we believe, are marks of God's operating grace in the person's life. So I think that statement says it very well in a few words. The perseverance of the saints is a reality by the grace of God in the case of every person who is truly saved. We can call it preservation because, of course, God is the one who acts and he preserves his people. We don't do our part to get him to acknowledge that by then giving us grace. Grace is what God gives us to bring about our conversion initially, our faith in Christ initially, and then, of course, our perseverance in faith and our walk in perseverance all the way to the end. These things are the result and not the cause of God's accepting us. When God gives us his grace, he brings about our perseverance also. And so these things are distinguishing marks that make a clear difference. In some circumstances, you see people falling away and not having any interest in persevering in Christ. And you then realize, okay, then that was a superficial faith. It was not a work of the Holy Spirit. When God begins the work, God also finishes the work.
And we have a listener, Robert, in Westchester County, New York, who asks, can a Christian that does not hold to all 5 points of Calvinism logically and consistently believe in perseverance and preservation of the saints, as some do? There are those who actually believe that a true Christian must demonstrate repentance in order for it to be deemed a genuine faith, but they deny the other points of Calvinism. To me, it makes no sense, because if they are still clinging to libertarian free will, they cannot really deny the fact that a person with a free will could choose to leave the faith that they once claimed. It seems to be absurd and nonsensical for someone to agree with us on the area of perseverance and yet deny the rest of the points of Calvinism that includes total depravity, which, of course, as you know, means that man's will is totally depraved and incapable of pleasing God unless they are already regenerate. If you could comment on this, it would truly help clarify matters with friends that I dialogue with over this issue. And we will have you respond to that, if you could, when we return from our break. And by the way, Daniel, I'm going to email you a different phone number that you can call, because I think that this may clear up some of our technical issues with your phone connection. I am sending you an email in about 30 seconds, so keep your eye open for that email.
Sure.
So if anybody else wants to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you could also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And they man that phone line typically Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. If nobody answers when you call, try the next day if that is a weekday. Or you can also obviously order 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year at cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. And when you order anything, if you mention that you heard about them at cvbbs.com from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you will receive, when ordering $50 or more worth of merchandise, a free book that retails for $19 normally, Luther on the Christian Life, Cross and Freedom, by Carl Truman, who's been a guest here on Iron Trip and Zion Radio a number of times. We look forward to having him back soon. And not only will you get that book for free, but you'll also get free shipping if you mention Chris Arnson and Iron Trip and Zion Radio and order at least $50 worth of merchandise. And might I suggest that when you're trying to make that $50 mark, that you order books from Solid Ground Christian Books, because Solid Ground Christian Books, another sponsor of ours, is a publisher. CVBBS.com is a book distributor, and they carry Solid Ground Christian Book titles. So you could kill two birds with one stone and order Solid Ground Christian Books titles from CVBBS.com. You can go to solid-ground-books.com. solid-ground-books.com and make a long list of books that you'd like to order, and then go to cvbbs.com and order them. And that way you'll be more quickly ushered into the $50 minimum mark if you want free shipping and if you want the free book by Carl Truman, Luther on the Christian Life. Please always remember to mention Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever you patronize any of our sponsors. Before we return to our discussion with Daniel Deeds, which is part two of the discussion we began last Monday, Will I Make It to Heaven? A New Look at the Perseverance of the Saints. We just have a couple of important announcements to make. First of all, at the end of this month, I intend to be there in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. Elizabethtown's one word. Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, at the Elizabethtown College, May 29th through the 31st, for the 2018 Banner of Truth U.S. Ministers Conference. So I hope you join me there. This is going to be on the theme Ministers of Christ, and the speakers include Alistair Begg, Johnny Gibson, Mark Johnston, Al Mohler, David Strain, and Craig Troxell. And for more details on registering, go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then click on U.S. Ministers Conference. Make sure you click on U.S. and not U.K., because they already have had several U.K. conferences, and therefore you'd be directed to the wrong information. You have to make sure you click on U.S. Ministers Conference, May 29th through the 31st in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, on the theme Ministers of Christ with Alistair Begg and others. I hope to see you there. Go to banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then click on U.S. Ministers Conference. Make sure you tell the Banner of Truth that you heard about this conference from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Now, last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want it to go off the air, you look forward to the guests and topics every day, you share the free MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones, you find this to be a great blessing in your life, that you are edified by, entertained by, whatever reason you love this show, and you want it to remain on the air, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. That way you could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. That's click to donate now. If you prefer mailing in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail, then just make out a check to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for whatever amount you can afford, and mail it to the address, the snail mail address that will appear when you click support on ironsharpensironradio.com. Please never, ever, ever siphon money out of your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church. If you're not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully seeking for one, you are living in disobedience to God. You need to rectify that situation and put yourself under the authority of the elders of a local Bible-believing church. And if you're having a hard time finding one, email me at chrisarnson@gmail.com, because I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. And I've already helped a number of people find biblically faithful churches, including one in Perth, Australia, not long ago, and other places in the United States. But please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com if you're having a hard time finding a church. And never siphon money away from your regular giving to a local church, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your family and church, providing for my radio show, while it might not be a command of God, if you love the show and you don't want it to go away and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey the two biblical commands I mentioned, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and donate as much as you can and as often as you can by clicking click to donate now or sending in checks via snail mail. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, whether it's your church, parachurch organization, your business, professional practice, whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, a dentist, a chiropractor, or you're just having a special event. As long as whatever it is you're promoting does not conflict with the theology we express here or militate against it, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign. You don't have to believe exactly as I do, but you just can't be advertising something that is in direct opposition to what I believe. So I look forward to hearing from you via email at chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in questions for our guest Daniel Deeds on Will I Go to Heaven? Or Will I Make It to Heaven? That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And as you know, Daniel, before the break, we had Robert in Westchester County, who basically wants to know if believing in perseverance of the saints makes any sense if you deny any of the other points of Calvinism.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually very interesting, because I think what that points out is that there is inconsistency when people don't hold to a system that actually fits in with each other. All the points fit in with each other. I think that's true with most of us. We probably all are a little bit inconsistent in the sense that as we grow in our understanding of the Bible, we'll realize that some ideas that we had didn't make sense, they were not biblical. And then when we look back, we say, well, I should have seen that before. That didn't make any sense with what I believed already. But as we grow, we understand that more. And I think that that's definitely true in terms of grace and things along that line. If you read, for instance, somebody like John Wesley, he says some things that are just wonderful about the need for God's grace to save people. He understood depravity. He did not believe in partial depravity. Then, again, he goes into contradiction with that with some of the other statements that he makes. And so if you look at it from a point of view that we tend to be inconsistent until we're confronted with positive biblical teaching that really brings us out of our contradiction and makes us become more coherent in the way that we systematize our thoughts, I think that's what people really go through. And, you know, the first day that somebody tells you, look, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and you say, yes, okay, I believe that. That doesn't mean that you've understood how it works out and all the ramifications that will bring into all the areas of theology. It's going to be necessary to think that through and reread the Bible over and over with an open mind and apply the biblical texts in different areas to what that means and what that brings to bear on the doctrine of salvation until we really get a grasp on a lot of the things. And, you know, we grow as we learn more. But it's definitely inconsistent to believe that. Now, on the other hand, it's also a danger to not be consistent, because every time somebody is not consistent, that opens the door for them also to drift. And I believe what we're seeing happen with some people is that they don't become clear on some of these issues. They leave doors open for misunderstandings to just grow in their perception of the Bible. And I've heard people who believe that, you know, salvation is reversible work with people that already believe that salvation begins through a decision of free will, and they'll say, look, what happens to the person's free will after they get saved? You're saying that, to begin with, a person can make a decision out of their own free will, and then God takes away their free will, they can't reverse that? And people will think about that for a little bit and say, yeah, well, maybe there could be loss of salvation. See, and so that's definitely leaving a door open for people to even lose the perception of the permanence of salvation that they already profess if they believe that. And so it's necessary to be consistent. It's necessary to be doctrinally precise. But the way I look at people who understand that salvation is by grace, and they believe that, and they don't see how it all works out, I believe there's just a need there for a growing understanding and actually looking at how grace operates in each one of these areas, looking at the fact that, yes, we persevere by grace, and perseverance is assured to every true believer, but it's also true that we believe initially by grace. It's not something that is just a test that God gives humans and says, look, nobody's good enough, I'm going to lower the standard. Just do this, and I'll give you salvation as a reward if you can be at least this good. And then somebody comes along and does it, and does what God is requiring as a lower secondary entry-level standard, and says, okay, I'm in now. That's not how salvation works. It's grace. It's grace from beginning to end. And so when people don't understand that and don't see the connection of that, people are open to this kind of misunderstanding. And it's definitely an inconsistency. But what I would suggest, working with people who believe at least in some points of the doctrines of grace, is to reinforce those things and get people to look at those more closely and understand why that's true, and then say, look, the same principles are also true about other aspects of salvation. Look, it's God that keeps us by his grace, but it's also God who converts us initially. It's God who produces faith in our heart by a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not our initiative. It's God's initiative, and it's God's grace that opens our eyes. He changes our heart. He removes the heart of stone so that then we can actually have a receptive attitude towards the gospel. If God doesn't do that first, just hearing the gospel is not going to go anywhere. And if we can work at it from that end, I would really hope that we could preserve the elements that are still present, because a lot of historic churches have their roots in Reformed theology, and they've drifted, and piece by piece, people have been working to dismantle the understanding of grace. And so if there's still some elements there, that can still be preserved. I think that's important, too.
Amen. And if you, in fact, I know of a pastor, and of course I actually know more than one pastor, but there is a specific pastor I'm thinking of who agrees with Calvinists on the very important issue that repentance is necessary for salvation. He deplores easy believism and cheap grace, and yet he also deplores unconditional election and limited atonement and irresistible grace. And he thinks that if you remove libertarian free will from humans, that makes them robots. And what I have said to him is, so you think someone becomes a robot after they're saved? I mean, I don't understand why he would agree with us that a true Christian will demonstrate the fruits of repentance throughout the entirety of their lives until they are in glory with Christ, why he would agree with that and yet somehow not see that that is inconsistent with his understanding of free will. And so while we rejoice that some of our non-Calvinist brothers and sisters in Christ agree with us on repentance, which is the most important thing, they are more inconsistent. Sure. They're more inconsistent than the full-blown five-point Arminian, or even the person that sadly and tragically believes in the heresy of easy believism and cheap grace, because they believe that someone by their freedom of will can abandon the truth, but they will believe tragically that that person will remain saved and is truly saved, and we can expect them to be in heaven, even if they live like Satan for the entirety of their lives. And even tragically, someone as beloved as Charles Stanley had that included in his book on eternal security. But in fact, one of my modern day heroes, John MacArthur, came to believe in the 5 points of Calvinism, but when he first believed in lordship salvation, he was still a non-Calvinist, but he, I believe, recognized the inconsistency of that. But if you could, Before we go to any more listener questions, and by the way, Robert, you've won a free copy of the book we are discussing, Will I Make It to Heaven? So please give us your full mailing address. If you could, give us some of the major arguments that you sought to overcome by those who are opposed to the doctrine known as perseverance of the saints.
Okay. Yes, well, the people who are scared, basically, of the idea of perseverance of the saints and the security of the believer in Christ are worried that this will create a license to sin, and that's one of the big things that people will emphasize, the fact that, look, the Bible teaches the need to persevere, and they will be very correct in showing that the Bible does say the people who make it to heaven are the people who go all the way, the people who believe in Christ and continue to believe in Christ. And as they make that point, really they are fighting an enemy that we would agree with, that that's not the right way. The idea is that you can be saved and not persevere and continue saved. We would agree with that. And so some of their guns are aimed at a common enemy, I would say. And at the same time, they need to realize that there are not just two positions. It's not just you can be saved and lost again, or you can be saved and never be lost, even though you might cease to believe in Christ. Those are not the two positions. There's also the position that says salvation is permanent because the transformation of the heart of the new Christian is permanent, and God will lead you all the way to salvation. And so, to final salvation, I should say. Initially saved by faith through Christ and being justified all the way to glorification. And so that's one of the things that we need to understand, that some of the arguments that are used are not arguments that we have any objection to. I think that at that point we need to clarify that and show people, look, consider this. There is not only this position and this other position. There is also a third position, which is really the historic position of the Christian church all the way back to the church fathers. And when people are trying to show that the warnings against apostasy mean that there is a danger of losing salvation, I think there's a very precarious in that approach. Because if you look closely at the passages in the Bible that talk about the need for perseverance, that talk about the need for continuing in Christ, a lot of those passages that will be cited by Arminians that are trying to say, look, you can't lose your salvation. Come and look at these texts with me. A lot of those texts are so clear about the fact that every Christian...
Brother, you are breaking up really badly again. You're going to have to stay close to the mouthpiece of whatever you're speaking into. Sorry, you're just really okay. Becoming muffled and inaudible. So if you could repeat your last sentence, I'm sorry.
Sure. Okay, so when people are looking at these passages in the Bible that talk about the need for perseverance, the fact that you need to stay in Christ, that you need to be faithful to the end, when people are presenting those texts as arguments that there is the chance or the possibility of a true Christian falling away from the faith and being eternally lost, what these people sometimes are doing is they're using texts that actually go against their belief, and they don't even look at it because they look at it as only two alternatives. Either a person may cease to believe in Christ and continue saved, or a person will need to persevere to the end, which means a true Christian can be lost if he doesn't. And if we look at these passages, I'd like to read a few of them. And I'd like to draw out what the passage is truly saying. I think it's clear once you realize that the doctrine that we're presenting is not the easy believism kind of thing, once saved, always saved, regardless of faith in Christ and perseverance. John chapter 8, verse 31 says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.'" That's John 8:31. See, in that passage, people will bring this out and say, look, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples. If you don't abide, if you don't continue, then you won't make it to heaven. And the part that is not really noticed when that emphasis is brought out is that Jesus didn't say, if you abide in my word, you will continue to be my disciples. What he said is, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. And see, that presupposes the fact that if you are now a disciple, you will abide in the future. If if you don't abide in the future, it doesn't mean that you will cease to be. What it means is that right now, even now, you are not truly a disciple. And it's very similar to what we mentioned earlier about Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus said, I never knew you. That's an emphasis that sometimes is overlooked. And that happens in several of these passages. Let me read another passage in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 6 and verse 14. Very interesting passages. Here's what Hebrews 3 says. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. We are his house. If indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. See, that passage says, we are Christians, we are the house of God, the house of Christ, if we hold fast our confidence. So what happens if in the future we don't hold fast? What does that show? Well, it doesn't show that we then cease to be the house of Christ. It shows that at the present, at the moment when this verse is speaking, we are not the house of Christ, because if we are the house of Christ, we will hold fast to the end. Also, Hebrews 3:14 says, for we share in Christ, we share in the present, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. See, in passages like that, what the Bible is really saying is not that true Christians can be saved now and then not hold fast and not hold firm to the end and become lost. What the Bible is saying is that we share now, presently, in Christ, if we hold to him firm to the end. So that is exactly our doctrine. That's exactly the Reformed position, the idea that true saints do persevere. And so it's really unfortunate that people will look at these passages and all they'll glean from them is the fact that those who don't persevere will not be in heaven, without noticing that it's also saying that those who don't persevere are not presently in Christ. And that is really the thrust of these passages. Now, when we speak about the need to persevere in these terms, I think it's comparable to the way that we speak when we're talking about how can you tell if this is genuine. Let's say we're talking about a diamond. Somebody shows up with a diamond. They believe it's a diamond. They're not really sure. And they say, could you test this and see if this is a real diamond? Okay, the person might look at that and say, okay, well, let's do a test here. I'll tell you what. We're going to see if this stone of yours cuts the glass, then it's a real diamond. I'm not sure that that's a perfect test for jewels. But anyway, let's say that we're doing it that way. And then he takes it, and it doesn't work. And he can realize that the stone is not an authentic diamond. He won't take that back to the person, hand it to the person, and say, well, I'm sorry, it didn't pass the test. This is no longer a diamond. What he will say is, no, the test brought out the fact that it wasn't a diamond to begin with. And that's exactly what these passages are saying, that people who do not persevere to the end are shown to not have been the house of God from the beginning, to not have been true disciples of Christ from the beginning. Because in the case of true conversion, there's this working of God within the person, and he who began a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Christ. And so the true Christian is actually preserved and perseveres, therefore, by the grace of God. And so that's one of the main ways that people argue to try to undo the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. And they use these passages without really being very attentive to the way that they make their case.
Well, I've got the perfect title for your sequel to your book, Will I Make It to Heaven? How about Glass Christians versus Diamond Christians?
Okay.
But we have to go to our final break right now. It's going to be very brief.
Sure.
If anybody else would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations,
including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets.
Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes biweekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your world trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned us in, our guest has been for the last 90 minutes and the next 25 minutes or so to come, Daniel Deeds, and we are discussing part two of Will I Make It to Heaven? A New Look at the Perseverance of the Saints, a discussion that we began last week. And if you'd like to join us on the air, send in a question now or forever hold your peace because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnsen@gmail.com, chrisarnsen@gmail.com. And we have an anonymous listener, Daniel, who says, you keep repeating these 5 points of Calvinism. I know I've heard that slogan before, but can you please at least list these 5 points so I can understand in some way the context from which you are speaking? Okay, we have total depravity, which means that man is totally depraved, not that he is depraved as he could be, because even because of God's merciful restraint, the worst of men are not as bad as they can be. God even restrains the most evil of people. Even Hitler had his evil restrained to some measure. But that means that man, by his nature, after the fall of Adam, cannot please God through anything they think, believe, or do, because they are bound to their sinful flesh and only desire to please themselves and to act in disobedience to God. And unconditional election means that God chose before the foundation of the world those he desired to elect that had nothing to do with his foreseeing any future faith or any good work that they might do. Limited atonement means that the number of people for whom God died or for whom Christ died on Calvary, the number of people were limited to the number of the elect, but the power of that atonement is unlimited, which is why every single person for whom Christ died will be saved with certainty. Irresistible grace means that ultimately every person who is among the elect will be drawn to a saving knowledge of Christ, and perseverance of the saints is what we are discussing today. That spells out the acronym TULIP. Do you have anything to add to that that I may have missed or misstated? Mm-hmm. Daniel?
Oh, that's a very good statement. That's a very good statement to me.
Okay.
How I see it as well.
Right, and they are really links in a chain that can't be broken if you are to understand logically and consistently major truths of the Scripture, even including what we are talking about today, whether or not someone can lose their salvation. Like, for instance, even limited atonement or definite atonement or particular redemption, if, for instance, God knows who his elect are and who will be in heaven with him for eternity, why would he be dying for the sins of people he knows will be in hell? Isn't that an inconsistency?
Yes, that's truly an inconsistency. I believe that the whole concept of the sins being paid for in full by Christ is something that, when we really understand what it means for expiation to take place, that really makes a difference. The atonement that Christ makes, if we understand what that really means, we'll understand that there's a very specific intent in the death of Christ on the cross. And it works together with all the other points, the understanding that salvation is God's work, it's the grace of God that brings about our salvation.
Right, and we believe, as Reformed Christians, that Christ died even for the sin of unbelief. So, because other Christians who denounce limited atonement, they say that they will say that Christ died for every sin, typically, for everybody. But what about the sin of unbelief? Wouldn't that really conclude in the doctrine of full blown universalism, where everyone will be saved? If most people who reject limited atonement and reject other points or all the points of Calvinism don't even realize that their theology should actually eventually lead them to full-blown universalism, as it did with a well-known Pentecostal who I am going to be doing a program at some point, God willing, reviewing the movie come Sunday, and that's about a well-known Pentecostal pastor who was a graduate of Oral Roberts University, who began his ministry believing in the fact that those who reject Christ will be in hell, but he eventually came to embrace full-blown universalism. His name is Carlton Pearson.
Right.
Yeah, he came to believe in full-blown universalism because not only because of a voice from God, an extra-biblical voice from God that he claims he heard, but also because of biblical texts that Arminians use all the time, but he used them actually correctly in an Arminian understanding, I mean. If you're going to interpret many of these passages that have universal language in the Bible, like world and all and so on, as always to mean every single person when it comes to the death of Christ, then you really should be a universalist. Not that anybody ever should be a universalist, but I think that he was more logically consistent with an Arminian hermeneutic.
For universal atonement. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's the risk, I believe. If I may, just that's the risk I believe that we have when there is inconsistency. It's just like the open theism question. When people start having this kind of inconsistent perspective about theological issues, it's very dangerous for that to become an open door to just drift away from orthodoxy.
Yep. And by the way, thank you, Anonymous. Give us your full name, of course, off the air. We will not divulge or expose your name. You requested to be anonymous, so if you'd like to give me your full name off the air and your full mailing address, you have also won a free copy of Will I Make It to Heaven by our guest Daniel Deeds. That will be shipped out to you by cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. We thank you so much for participating in today's program. Let's see here. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who asks, is there any real danger behind believing that you can lose your salvation? I can understand the danger behind one believing that a person living an unrepentant satanic life will go to heaven. Even though I'm a Calvinist, I recognize that is a very dangerous and heretical teaching. But tell us specifically how understanding the scriptures to teach that you can lose your salvation is actually dangerous, even if it's incorrect.
Well, I believe that we really do have some dangers in this, and the basic danger is that it begins to chip away at the understanding of grace. Now, grace is such an important concept, and it goes against our natural way of thinking, and we need to preserve that really at a very high price. If we lose the understanding of how grace operates in salvation, and we start believing that it's what we do, God looks at us like we're on some kind of a probation, we have to prove ourselves worthy, and if we don't do a very good job, we can lose our salvation. If that kind of thinking permeates our mind, we can really get away from the idea that salvation is by grace in a fundamental way. I think that this is all about being consistent with the idea that salvation is by grace alone. And I've talked to a lot of people who believe that salvation can be lost, and they will say, no, I believe in salvation by grace alone. And when we really begin to, flesh that out and see what we're talking about, we always run into the fact that that really hasn't been understood and how it applies at this point. And when we lose an emphasis on God's grace being what really saves us, what we begin to do is we start getting away from a very essential core Christian doctrine. And so I would be very ready to say that, you know, Arminians can, you know, many Arminians are our brothers in Christ, and I don't have the view that unless you embrace all 5 points of Calvinism, you haven't become a Christian. I don't believe that. I believe that you can understand the gospel in a very limited way and become saved by God's grace, but then, you know, you should grow in that understanding. But in reality, what goes on is that when you talk to a lot of the people who are on this side of, on the other side of this issue, you'll begin to realize that there really are some issues that they have not understood, and they tend to make grace become less and less important in the perspective of Christianity. I'd like to read a couple of quotes from a book just to show you what kind of thing that scares me and in churches where this kind of theology predominates. There's a book written by an author called Guy Duty, and he has this statement. He says, God gave Abraham an everlasting covenant and an everlasting kingdom because he obeyed God's covenant conditions. God also gives us an eternal covenant of life if we do the works of Abraham. Okay, now this is coming from an author who's in an Arminian church. He's not, you know, saying he's Pelagian, and he's not saying that he's, you know, Roman Catholic. If you say, look, salvation is by grace, it's not through works, he'll say, oh, no, definitely, I agree. Salvation is not through works. But when he begins to explain what he really means, things start coming out that are a real concern. And I think that church history stands as a lesson that when grace is depreciated within our understanding, and we stop understanding that it's God's grace that saves us, it's God's grace that keeps us, it's God's grace that converts us initially, if we don't understand how this works, what happens is we tend to go down a slope where grace becomes less and less important, less emphasized, and less understood. And I think there really is a danger. You know, I've talked to people within this perspective that salvation can be lost, that are really looking at their own works as the means to keep them saved. Sometimes they won't say it in those terms, of course. But what they will say is things like, oh, no, I have to be good. I have to perform. Because if I don't, what will happen is my faith will become corrupted, and I'll end up losing my salvation. And instead of looking at God as the source of everything, many times what they're really doing, unwittingly, is what they're doing is they're turning their eyes upon themselves and saying, okay, it not only depends on me, but actually, I'm the one who is doing this. I'm the one who is making sure that I get to heaven. And that's very unfortunate. I think that when we read the Bible, we see that the gifts that God gives his people, he also makes a big point, a big issue of the fact that we have to give him the glory for that. And if we don't underscore the fact that God's grace is doing this for us, we really allow the glory of God to go unrecognized in what he is doing for us. And I think that opens up a lot of problems for the church. I think that there's a reality that a lot of the pragmatism that we have in the church today, a lot of the things that are done just from the perspective of how can we bring people into the church just by using human methods and not understanding the way that the Spirit works to convert people and that it's the work of the grace of God. I think things like that have a tendency to be also a problem when we run into this kind of an issue. The people will frequently start thinking in terms of, okay, I've got to do this. It depends on me. And in the end, they also start thinking, okay, I've done my part. I think I kind of deserve this, instead of really understanding that it all came from God and it all came from grace. And so I think there is a real danger in that.
Yes, there is. It's always a danger when we give more credit to man and less credit to God for any blessing, especially salvation. That leads to all kinds of heresies and is in and of itself a heresy. We have Bobby in Hartsdale, New York, who says, or asks, do all free will Baptists believe you could lose your salvation? Now, I don't know if Bobby is referring to the denomination that you used to believe in or to Baptists in general who believe in free will, But obviously we know that many Baptists who believe in free will believe in quote-unquote eternal security. But how about the denomination?
Right. Well, the Free Will Baptist denomination has different views about how you can lose salvation. But it's the point that if you're going to be in the denomination, you have to agree with it. There is a possibility of a Christian losing his salvation. The predominant view, I'm not really sure what it might be. Some people believe that it might be from backsliding and being in sin, falling into deliberate sin. You're lost, and you have to repent to get saved again. I know some people who do believe that, but a lot of other people also believe that, no, salvation is a one-time thing. You only lose it if you commit complete apostasy, where you turn your back on faith in Christ and renounce faith in Christ, and then that would be a one-time thing. But in one way or another, you have to believe that within the Free Will Baptist denomination.
Now, are there any, at least significant people, spokesmen for that denomination, who believe in easy believism? It would seem to be contradictory to that, but since you said there are different reasons that they list, or they disagree with each other on how you could lose your salvation, do any of them hold to an easy believism?
I don't believe so. I never ran into that within the Free Will Baptist denomination, and I know quite a few people, so I really believe that, you know, they do teach you have to be serious about repenting of your sin and coming to Christ and living a faithful life. And a lot of the, you know, the message that they teach when they're preaching the gospel to unbelievers, they will, you know, tell people you have to renounce your sin, you have to believe in Christ for salvation. And so the easy believism part, where you can just, you know, very easily without any kind of repentance at all, just make a profession of faith and get salvation like that, I don't think that that's something that you really find among Free Will Baptists.
Please give us your full name and address, Bobby, in Hartsdale, New York, because you have also won a free copy of Will I Make It to Heaven, and CVBBS.com will ship that out to you once we have your full mailing address. We have Joe in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, how would you comfort a person who is perhaps near death and struggling over confidence that they are saved without giving them false assurance? What would you ask them and tell them to make sure that when you are giving them encouragement and comfort, that you are not falsely doing so to a reprobate?
Well, if I don't know the person enough to be able to make any kind of a judgment on that, I would address them in terms of, well, no matter what may have happened or may not have happened in the past, you can believe in Christ now if that's something that you have any doubt about. So if you say, I'm not sure if I've ever really been a Christian, well, you can take the approach, well, right now I'm going to trust in Christ. And I think I would take it along those lines, because there are wonderful promises in the Bible for salvation, for those who trust in Christ and Christ alone, those who renounce their sin, who repent of their sin. And if that message is believed at this point, if that's the continuation of a true faith that has been there, and the person's just maybe having a moment of insecurity, realizing that they're departing this world, and now it really comes to bear upon them, and if they feel some kind of insecurity, but they are saved, it wouldn't harm them in the least to just affirm that they do believe in Christ and that they do have faith in Christ alone. On the other hand, if they have never been saved, it's also a reality that a very sober moment like that may be used by God just to bring them to realize the importance of their salvation, and God's Spirit may be working in their heart so that they would believe at that moment as well.
Please give us your full mailing address, Joe, so we can have CVBBS.com send you a free copy of Will I Make It to Heaven. We have another listener in Suffolk County, Christopher, who asks, among the Free Will Baptist denomination, are there any prominent people or pastors that you are aware of who are actually full-blown Pelagianists?
Well, there are some Pelagians in the denomination. I don't think that they're important people. I think the schools, the Bible colleges and seminaries have done a very good job at promoting to teaching positions and to promoting the literature in their denomination by people who are more biblical, more responsible, and that would line up with classic Arminianism. And so I don't believe that we really see people in prominent positions like that. But there have been some, and I think that you'll run into some in local churches. One of the things that really concerns me about Arminian churches is that frequently they will try very hard to make sure that people reject Calvinism, and they'll talk against Calvinism, but they won't talk against Pelagianism. And some of the members won't even know what Pelagianism is, and they might actually be Pelagian without even knowing that there's a risk or a danger in that area, because there's no teaching about that. And I think that's very unfortunate. Because if they, you know, really... Yes.
No, go ahead.
But if they really agree with us that Pelagianism is a heresy and it's very serious, then there ought to be at least the same emphasis given to prevent that kind of doctrine being spread. But there have been even pastors with that kind of a perspective, and I think that that's a sad thing.
And Pelagianism would be a denial of the sinful nature of man, that men are conceived basically sinless, and that grace, although is a help, it is not required for come to a saving one. It is not required for one to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Am I right on that?
Yes. Well, you'll see Pelagianism where people don't really believe in depravity. People believe that the human free will is, people are born into this world with the potential to live their life without ever sinning, because all they have to do is make the right choices. They don't have a bent in their sinful nature that they're born with that will lead them to sin. So people don't believe that we're sinners, because they'll believe that we only become sinners by sinning the first time
right.
in our life, not because we're born sin. That would be Pelagianism, and sometimes you run into that kind of thing. I've never confronted that personally. I know people who have.
They're the we're sinners by nurture, not by nature, right?
Right, exactly.
And I think most of them would admit, at least, that they have never met someone who is a sinless person. They just believe it's hypothetically possible, right?
Yeah, but I think it also comes out when people take the position that all you have to do is really work hard and really decide that you're going to be serious about the Christian life and you can live a life of sinless perfection. Like, I knew a man who once said that he had been 15 years without sinning. And I think that, you know, shows a very shallow understanding of sin.
Right. That statement itself was a sin because it was a lie.
Yes, no doubt. But that's just the kind of thing that comes from a Pelagian view of the human nature. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, and you have about a minute to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Okay. Well, the whole point of the book that I've written is about the importance of grace and understanding grace and giving the glory to God. I understand the concern that sometimes people who disagree with me have when they're concerned about not allowing for sin to reign in people's lives and giving false assurance. That's something I can understand. But we're also concerned about putting the glory where it should be and giving it to God and understanding that God is the one who saves from start to finish. And the biblical precision on that needs to be maintained. And so I would just encourage people to consider that, to go back to the Bible and notice that God's grace is responsible for our salvation in every aspect, for calling, our original belief in Christ, and our maintaining our faith by persevering. That happens as a result of God's preserving grace.
Well, praise God. If anybody wants to purchase the book, Will I Make It to Heaven? A New Look at the Perseverance of the Saints, published by Calvary Press, you can go to cvbbs.com. Our sponsors, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, and you can order it there. If they don't have it in stock, they will order it for you. But in fact, I believe Patty Jennings told me they do have it in stock, so go to cvbbs.com and order it today. Any other contact information that you care to give?
Well, I'd leave my email. That would be the easiest way since I'm in Brazil. My email is, like my name, Daniel Deeds. But Daniel with two L's, Daniel L. Deeds, D-E-E-D-S, @gmail.com. And you can contact me like that if you'd like to correspond with me over any issue.
Great. And tomorrow we have Ken Ham, speaking about his new book, Gospel Reset, Salvation Made Relevant, and Dr. F. Lagarde Smith speaking about his book, Darwin's Secret Sex Problem. That's tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.